Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Rejoicing to be here together with you all. I've been richly blessed right this morning to be here. What has come forth from the brothers already. Let us again bow our hearts and thank the Lord and continue to seek Him here. Let's pray. Yes, Father, we bow before You in Jesus' name again here this morning, Lord. We desire to continue to draw near to Thee, Lord. And Fathers, we are in great need of You, Lord. I am in great need of Thee, Lord. Father, we're thankful so much, Lord, for who you are, Lord, and for the promises in Your Word, Lord, and for the life that Jesus lived out, Lord. Father, we're thankful that in His grace, in Your grace, Lord, we can more fully walk in those ways. Would You help us, Lord, each day in that way, Lord? Would You help me to communicate Your Word and Your will at this time, Lord? And Father, that You may be lifted up and exalted, Father, and that Your power would prevail in my heart and each one of our hearts together, Lord, as we strive to walk in Thy ways, Lord. And Father, may You just continue to minister to my heart and each one of us together here, Lord. We are thankful that You are here with us, Lord, and there's much that You desire to do in each one of our hearts and lives, Lord. We are humbled by Your love toward us, Lord. We desire to love You more, Lord, and to worship You rightly. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless each one of you this morning. It's truly a blessing, as I've said, to be here, and I rejoice at what the brothers have shared this morning. The truth, what Matt shared about truth is I'm so thankful that as we can be a reflection of truth by the grace of God in each one of our lives, and that made me think of a time there during street fair. I had this fairly long conversation with a young man. He was just a little bit older than I am. He was in his low 30s. He didn't really believe in the Bible. He obviously, by the way he was living, he wouldn't. Yeah, and he told me that, but. That he didn't really believe in the Bible, and he went on to say, "Why would you believe in a book?" And you know, there's many that think that way. Why would you just believe in a book? And sadly, you know, the example is not shown forth in a lot of ways of us that read the Bible. We don't show it forth how we should a lot of times. But thankfully, by the grace of God, as we humble ourselves, and we live according to the truth in the Bible, like I shared with him, you know, I told him, yeah, that's a valid thought, you know. But what I'm thankful for is the things that I was in. The sinful life I was living, overnight, I no longer lived in that. There was grace above sin. So what man can perform a miracle like that, and that you're going to tell me that this is just a regular book, that this there's no power in this book, that God did not write this book. The true and living God, as He is one with His Word. And he seemed to understand that somewhat, but yet too many times we do not deny ourselves. We do not use the grace that God has available for us. We would rather live for ourselves and sin for a season than show forth the grace and the glory of God. So this morning, I feel, yes, very unworthy to to be up here, but if by some way that we would all be blessed together in some small way, may God be glorified. And as you see the title there, Die that I May Live. That came from John 12, verse 23 to 26. Jesus was spending some time there with his disciples before his crucifixion. So we'll just read here, starting in verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Excuse me. So, this passage here has given me a lot to think about. As we travel through life and we're faced with different things, and this was birthed from the needs in my own heart. With too much self and pride in my heart, and God was merciful. To show me that I must die if I want to bring forth fruit. It says, except a corn of wheat. Only if a corn of wheat would fall into the ground and die. So a lot of times we talk about spreading seed and putting it in the ground. But here it says it must die. It has to... There, as for us, my flesh must die, my pride and self, the old Reuben must die. If I want to live, if I want to bring forth fruit, I must die. And yes, it's a death as we see our need as God draws us to Himself, and we see the need to repent and have Him as our personal Lord and Savior, there needs to be a death there at that point. I need to continue to die daily, as Paul says. That in my weakness, He is made strong. That in my weakness, I'm made strong. In me seeing the need for Christ to work in my heart and for need for grace to work in, to enable me to live a godly life. To see my need for dependence on God and not self-reliance on myself. On my own visions, my own desires, but that they may be on God. It's just you look at Christ, you think of Christ and the situation He was in, and He was thinking over everything here that was going to befall on Him taking the cross and giving His own life. And I'm sure he was thinking about this, though, and he could see that he wasn't going to be able to do this by himself. That he needed God to enable him to be able to do this, as this was not, we cannot do those things of ourselves. We need the grace of God to enable us to live above ourselves, to help us to choose righteousness. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. So I think there's two verses here that are it's very closely tied to about loving our life and dying to ourselves, dying to the old man, dying to our own agenda, our own will. And that it would be Christ's will for whatever situation we find ourselves in. You know, as we go, I cannot try to teach my children, to train my children with the old. With the old Reuben, it's not going to work. But I need to die and look to the Lord for grace. That I may live and that they may live. That they may see the example of Christ. And the power of God that's available for each one of us. To set them up with a sure foundation in that way. But if I love my life, will I have the desire or the time or the energy? Will I want to do any of that? Will I see it fit to put that energy into it if I love my life? As we are to, he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If I hate my life, I believe that will free me up a lot more to serve my family, the body of Christ, local and wherever, and every situation that I find myself in. If I hate my life, but if I love my life, if I love my plans, and my own visions, I'm caught up in my own things, then that will limit me to my effectiveness in that way. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. What a beautiful situation that would be. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, where God is, there his servant is, and there is oneness there. So I believe that's what we are all striving for, is oneness with God. And ourselves. And as I would consider for my life, how can I have that for my life? How is that possible? What is the road to travel to bring that oneness? That there's not this contradictory of I want to do this and God wants to do that, and we per se work against each other. And there's this struggle within my heart. But if I can find the grace to die and allow God's Spirit, allow God's Word to have its way in my heart, there can be a sweet communion there. And it changes my life. I want more of that. There's grace at work in my heart, and as Christ and I are one. There's peace and there's joy. There's sin is being overcome. God's kingdom is advancing. Not only in our hearts and our families, but in our own local body. And it goes out from there. And most of all, God is glorified. And the truth in His Word is being shown forth. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. What a beautiful testimony that Paul had there. He was able to, in humility, acknowledge that, yeah, I was back there, but now I am here, and I overcame sin. God changed my heart and my life, but yet not by myself, but by the grace of God. But yet I am willing to make choices and decisions to continue to enable the grace of God to work in my heart, to not hinder the grace of God in any way. And that's the burden for my life is, how can I live to enable God's grace to flow more fully, more freely in my life? Am I living in any way that's hindering, that is putting me in a position to not be spiritually successful, if you may say? Am I living in a way that I'm not growing in the grace and the knowledge like I should be? Too often there's things that God shows me that where I may be hindering Him. And as you think of death, as it says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die. What exactly is death? I mean, what is that? I just looked up, if you just look up the definition of that, it says to be deprived of respiration. There is no breathing there. And then it says of the circulation of blood and other bodily functions, and rendered incapable of resuscitation, to cease, to live, to die. The more I can find the grace to die to myself in that way, to bring death to the old man, to not do anything to stir up the old man, do not try to bring any respiration there or circulate blood, that it would bring conflict to the Spirit, to the indwelling of the Holy Ghost in my heart. And I realize each day we need to die daily, and there'll be a continue dying. And it's not, I can't just die to myself one time and my flesh completely dies off. While we're on this earth here, from what I understand, that won't be the case. It's a continued dying. There's a quote here by Samuel Logan Brengel, and it reads like this: men are everywhere crying and sighing for power and the fullness of the Spirit, but they neglect the means by which this power and fullness are obtained. And too often, we're not willing to travel the road. We're not willing to deny ourselves for a season in this short world, short time that we're here. But yet then we struggle along and wonder why I don't have the victory that I do. Maybe is there truth in God's word that I'm missing? Is there promises that I'm not holding up, that I'm not holding up my end? Am I diligent in seeking the Lord and staying in His Word? William Law wrote, unless our old man is really crucified with Him, the cross of Christ will profit us nothing. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Romans 6:8. My burden is I don't want to show forth a hopeless picture. But I don't see this as hopeless at all. I see it as a glorious promise for each one of us. It's very, very, very rewarding. But like I said earlier, I need to see the need to die to myself. That pride and self would be done away with. It's a very subtle thing. That's how I found it. Too often I don't realize that it's there. But by the grace of God and His mercy, I believe He'll show us if it's in our hearts. Mark 8:34, when He had called the people unto him with His disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow Me. First Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Listen to the last here, which liveth and abideth forever. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. We're not born again into corruption. We're not born into sin. We no longer have to serve sin. But we're made accepted by the Beloved through Him, the Lord Jesus given Himself. Through His blood, we are cleansed. And we can live forevermore. But that is if I see it fit to deny myself in this short time here. John 11:25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Like I shared earlier, and this brings out in a better way what I was trying to say, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I pray I want to be more like Him. I want to serve Him. I want to do His will. But yet, am I always willing to do according to the Word of God and what the Holy Spirit continues to reveal to me? Do I frustrate the grace of God in any of those ways as I read His Word? Do I rejoice at what I'm reading and apply it to my life, or do I brush some things off? And if I start brushing things off, I'm going to make a mess of things pretty quick. So yes, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And at that point, we all need to die. We need to see our great need of the Lord, of a personal Savior, of Him having as our Lord and Savior, and fall at His feet in genuine and full repentance. And the old man at that point needs to die. And He in His mercy will fill us with the new man. He will give us a new heart and a new spirit. And in God's mercy at that point, we endeavor to walk in His ways according to His Word. And by the grace of God, we have all endeavored to do that. Some of us have traveled longer than others, and we are somewhat in different places, but yet we all have the same goal in mind. We're not here to work against anyone, but to work together to glorify Him, to serve Him, to exalt Him, to further His kingdom. But too often as we travel along, myself comes out and it hinders the work that God's wanting to do. And that's pride. It's pride when I push my way through when it needs to be my way and my opinion is the best. Visions of the Lord and aspirations are good, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if I feel like I, when I come off strong and I need to have my own way, and my, yeah, and I know what's best, and I'm not very willing to lay it down. so I'm thankful. That we serve a God that continues to visit us and does not allow us, as we seek Him earnestly, to continue on in that way. But in repentance, we can be cleansed from that, and we can be a blessing one to another, and He can be glorified more fuller. For if ye live after the flesh, ye die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, that doesn't sound like that's of myself. It doesn't sound like it's of the old man or anything that I possess in of myself, but it's of God that I'm able to mortify the deeds of the body. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So if we serve the old Adam, we will die. But in Christ, we shall be made alive. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. So I rejoice greatly at that triumph that the Lord Jesus had over death, that I now can live. That there is hope for us in that way, to rise above and to walk in that newness of life. To continue to put on the new man daily. You know, at times the newness sometimes wears off some. And I've just been given that some consideration on why that is. And it could it be, there's various reasons that could possibly be, but the one of the big reasons is if there's sin in my life, if there's sin that I'm not acknowledging, if I'm not willing to die to some sin in my heart, if I'm not willing to do, as the brother said that shared about truth this morning, if I'm not willing to do what the Bible teaches me to get rid of that sin, if I'm not willing to travel that road, then I might just have to deal with the stillness, the lack of God's presence in my heart. But if I'm willing to deny myself and to do it God's way, then I'll be blessed far beyond what I deserve. my burden is for my life, for my and our family, and for the that I could lead our family clearly and with the power of God, that I could suffer affliction for a season to experience the power of God, and to not sell myself short to live for myself, but that I may experience the fullness of God, and that I could be a blessing to each one of you brothers here, and our family could be a blessing here. We have sure appreciated each one of you brothers and your families, and that the power of God would be evident and would be at work in each one of our hearts and lives together more fully. Because Reuben must die. That Christ may live in me and that I may live. But if I'm not willing to die, if I'm not willing to put myself under my brother, there'll be potential strife there. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So that gives us this beautiful picture of from going from serving and being under the power of Satan unto the power of God. So is that just part of God's power? Just part of His fullness? God help me that it may not be the case, but that it would be His fullness, and that I would not hinder His power in my heart. And one thing that God has shown me is I need to have a greater remorse of my past sins. Meaning, am I truly bringing forth fruits of repentance? Am I truly moved by God's mercy that He has shown me? But if I don't see that, if I miss that, I sell God's fullness very short. His fullness isn't shown forth in my life. Charles Finney here said that the individual who truly repents not only sees sin to be detestable and vile and worthy of abhorrence, but really abhors it and hates it in his heart. When Christ is everywhere, wrath and hatred will be nowhere. William Law. So Jesus gave His own life that we may have life. Am I that selfish that I cannot give my life for others at this point? Am I that selfish that I would rather serve myself and not deny myself, deny my flesh? For He is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto Him. For though He was crucified through weakness, yet He liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you. So I hope in some way that I was able to communicate something, a blessing, and these are things that the Lord is working in my heart. I have not attained these at all, but I want to walk in them. There's many needs in my heart and my families, but we are thankful and grateful and encouraged and are looking to the Lord for grace to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. We're very thankful, yes, for each one of your investments in our lives in various ways. And it's truly been a joy to walk with each one of you brothers in the past years. It's let us continue to draw near to Him. There's much that He desires to do with the brotherhood here. So let us not serve ourselves for a season, but be willing to deny ourselves and to serve Him that He may be glorified and that more souls may be won for Him. That's all that I have. Lord, bless you all.